How's everybody doing this wet evening? Come on now, how's everybody doing this great evening? Praise the Lord, we're doing great. Well, you know, yeah, but. You knew I wouldn't let you get by with that one. Well, just give me 1 second here to get myself set. It's been a while since I've been in the pulpit teaching, doing anything of any sort of kind. So let's just start with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship of you that we had this evening, for the faithful ones that came out and who led the worship and led us in to your very presence. We thank you for the word we're about to receive this evening, and we give our hearts and lives to you tonight, Lord. Change us to be more like you. Help us, Lord, to be changed into the image of your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about rest. And at some point it may not seem like we're talking about rest, but we're going to talk about rest. So go ahead and turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. And I'll be reading from the Amplified tonight. Pat, if you could turn me down just a hair, please. I'm kind of blowing my own eardrums out already. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 in the Amplified Bible. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. My burden is light and easy to be bore. Now, I'm going to read you a little excerpt from Joyce Meyer. This is her commentary about this passage. And she's entitled it, Lighten Your Load. God will give you the power and the strength you need to serve him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 teaches us that Jesus is not a hard taskmaster. In this passage, Jesus is saying that he is good and his system is good, not burdensome or difficult. Religious rules and regulations can be harsh and pressing, and you can easily get overburdened if you do not know how to do everything that you feel is expected of you to do. And I'll just go on for it. But Jesus is saying here, I am not that way. My ways are not like that. They are not hard, harsh, sharp, and pressing, but they are comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. I call that other stuff spiritual anxiety, you guys. It's when we come in to a church setting, all of a sudden, we feel like we got to be like everybody else around us. We got to start doing what everybody around us is doing. You know what? No. Do what God tells you to do. Get in His Word and figure it out. Don't let no one pressure you. Don't let no one put no burden or baggage on you that is not yours. Don't receive that. I don't care how good I'm walking. You don't have to be like me. All right? You don't have to be like Pastor. You don't have to be like Brenda. You don't have to be like Karen. You have to be who God intended you to be. Spiritual anxiety and burdens come into play when we start trying to get in that mold that we think everyone else wants us to fit into. We got to drop all that. We need to rest in Him. We need to rely on Him during those times when we're feeling like, I don't add up and I don't measure up. Why is my life always a mess and everybody else in the church seems to be just hunky-dory? I must be missing the mark somewhere. I must have missed it somewhere. So now I'll start trying to act like them. I'll say all the amens. I'll read all the scriptures in Galatians that they're reading this week. I'll read every book that they're reading. And I'll do. And all of a sudden, we're piled down with all this stuff that God never told us to do. But somehow we thought that would gain us entry or freedom. And all it has done is added more to the weight. Spiritual anxiety. Beware of that one. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And they read like this. And I'm going to take it a little different way. Joyce took it a little different way, but you guys will know right away what it's talking about. It's talking about the Israelites, but you'll see where it's going. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think He has come too late and has come short of reaching it. It's not too late, you guys, for us to enter His rest. Now, the rest being spoken here of course, is when we go home to glory. But there's a rest of God we can enter into right now, in the here and now. Don't think you've missed that, okay? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how many long faces you've been seeing. I don't care how anybody else is acting. We have not missed the rest of God. It is still available today, tonight. And if you haven't been resting, I'm going to give you an invitation tonight to enter into that rest. And I don't mean to come up here at the end and all that. I mean, I'm going to invite you to take what you hear tonight home with you and let God work this thing out in your spirit so you can enter the rest He died to give us. Lest any of you should think He come too late and has come short of reaching it too. For indeed we have had the glad tidings, gospel of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. So see, we have, they have. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it wasn't mixed with any faith. They got the word with no faith. We've got the word with faith. We can enter in to the rest of God. We can still catch hold of His promises today. Those times aren't past. It's not up for us. This isn't just all there is. Is this all there is? Come to you guys, I'm telling you, tonight is a special night, and whoever missed, I am sorry for them. It's not too late, guys. And you guys sitting here are hungry and thirsty. And there's a fire going to take hold of every one of you tonight. Because He is still on the throne. We do not serve a dead God. He is alive. He is lively. And He wants us to be living, lively stones, not dead. Amen. And I'll get into a little bit more of that here in a little bit. With the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard, did believe. 3, for we who have believed, adhered to and trusted in and relied on God, us uns that believe do enter that rest in accordance with his declaration that those who did not believe should not enter. If you believe, you can have rest, you will have rest. If you do not believe, you can have rest, you will never rest. If your mind is scrambled by the world and you think you will never, when will it ever end? It won't. But if we'll adhere to and trust and rely, which is called faith, have faith in God, we will enter his rest. That's what faith buys us. Rest. We all need it. But can we access it? Do we know how to access it in this day and age? And I'm going to stop right there in that scripture. I got a little more Joyce's commentary for you. Hebrews 4:3 teaches that those who believe God enter into his rest. Experiencing his rest is one way you can tell whether you're really in faith or whether you're just trying to have some. Experience and rest is one way you can tell whether you are really in faith or you're just trying to have some. When you truly enter into the realm of faith, you enter into the rest of God. Rest is freedom from these things: excessive reasoning, struggle, fear, inner turmoil, worry, frustration, which develop because of our own working to do what only God is able to do. Do you know we do that? We go around trying to do things, fix things, this, that only God is able to do. We need a break. We need a rest. Being in God's rest is not necessarily resting from physical activity, but resting in confidence in the midst of everything that goes on in life. It is a rest of the soul where the mind, will, and emotions are at peace. No matter what is coming at us, no matter what's going on at work, no matter what just happened to little Johnny at home, no matter what's going on wherever it is we go in our lives, rest. Don't let the turmoil that we get into and we touch and we're involved in mess us up. Stay in rest. Stay in faith. Look, if it's impossible, if the situation looks impossible, it is for you. So you better leave it to God. We're going around trying to do his job and wondering why we're tired and run down, can't hardly. Oh, if one more thing happens, it will. One more thing will happen. I just don't know if I can take it. Yes, you will. You will take it. It will happen. You will take it. When you do, will you give it to God? Or will you let it take you out of your rest? You can rest in God because you know he will take care of you and meet your needs. You do not know when or how, and you really don't care because you're enjoying the life you have right now while God works on all the problems. That's good news. We don't even have to worry about all that stuff. If God is your God, we don't have to worry about that stuff. He will work it out for our good. Now, we have to develop some patience and rest in Him and have faith that He will do what He said in His Word He will do. When we get that complaining, grouching, all this stuff, we've just walked out of His rest. And there's not nothing we can do about it anyway. God wants us to live at peace and in His rest. But in order for us to do that, we need to believe that God exists and that He's a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. Now, check this out. Joyce, if you are worn out, I urge you to enter into God's rest. I encourage you to quit trying, Joyce's words, to control everyone and everything around you and simply allow God to do for you what only He can do. And we're all guilty of it. If they'll do this, I'll be happy. If they'll only, God, change them. No, we're trying to conform them into what we want them to be, thinking that's going to make us happy. That's going to just set our life. Well, my husband will do this. If my wife will do that. If my kids will act this way. If my brother will do a certain thing. If my mom will do a certain thing. If my boss will do a certain thing. If he'll just do this one thing, I'll be happy. I'll work for him the rest of my life. No, you won't. The problem's not the boss, the kids, the husband, the wife. We have come out of God's rest and entered into something else when we allow everything on the exterior to come in at us. Stay in His rest. That doesn't mean we're not concerned and we don't love and all those kind of things. It means, look, you can't do nothing about it. I couldn't change Brenda if I went down there and started messing with her hair and braiding it. And this. I mean, I might be able to change her outward appearance a little, but I cannot change her heart. And the only one that can do that is God. You know, I can stand up here and I can preach the Word of God. If you guys don't go home and do nothing with it, you won't change. Same here. A lot of the Word is wasted these days. A lot of our time is wasted. We spend a lot of time busy doing this and that and the other thing on things that will not, cannot, do not satisfy, and will not help. And we forget about God, and we forget about His rest. Pop down to verses 11 and 12. Let us, therefore, be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. For the Word of God speaks and is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And we need to allow it to do that. You'll hear it every time you hear me. Get in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. Let it change your heart. let it change who you are. If you don't have time for God, then guess what's going to happen when you cry out to Him in a moment where you all of a sudden need Him? Come on now. If you don't have time for Him, why do you think He's going to run to your rescue all of a sudden when you cry out to Him? Just think about that. He's the last one on our list if we get to Him through some space of time in the week. Always. But boy, when we hit trouble, all of a sudden He becomes first. Think about those things. The only one we can change is us with the Word. Even if we could control others, we still wouldn't be happy. They're not the problem. The Word will still show us everything we need pertaining to life. It will show us the things that busy us. And I got a few in particular that I'm going to read to you here. And you don't have to turn to these. I'll go ahead and turn to them. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Just a couple quickies. Indeed, we hear that some among you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being busy with other people's affairs instead of their own, doing no work. Think about that. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or any sort of criminal or as a mischief maker, a meddler in the affairs of others, infringing on their rights. Do you know when we take our precious time and we start getting all up in other people's business, that we infringe upon their rights, and we infringe upon the right of God to speak into their life and do in their life what only He can do? We can't do it. We can't do it. So the Bible talks about busybodies, busy people, busy everything, going around doing this and I'm so busy. You ask anybody what you're doing today, I'm busy. Busy, biz, busy. I'm busy, busy, busy. Stay out of people's affairs. Leave them alone. Let God be God in other people's lives and work on you. Work on you. You know, if we work on us, we'll be more patient with everyone else around us. And if we work on us, we'll start to become something in Christ. And if we will work on us, we will start shining. And if we work on us, we will come up higher in the things of God. And if we work on us, they will see it. And if we're truly working on us and changing, they will want to be like us. But we go about it the wrong way. And then, here we are, stuff like this. I've preached to them for 20 years and they still haven't gave their heart to the Lord. Well, I spent 3 hours over to their house the other night and they still aren't walking with... And they're not going to. Live out loud in front of them. Take care of your own deal. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And for husbands and wives in particular, this is one of them areas. You know, we get to nitpicking one another. Nitpicking. Leave each other alone. Look, my husband doesn't have to be like me. Matter of fact, we're polar opposites. And no amount of me saying, you need to be more outspoken. You need to be in that pulpit. How come you don't buck up and be a man? How come you don't do this and that? How come you? Is not going to change him. All it's going to do is make him mad and take me out of my rest place, restful place. It's going to take me out of my rest because all I'm doing is going around trying to figure out how he can be better so I can have a simple life. That's called control. If you're praying for your spouse or your sister or your brother or your mother, why exactly are you praying for them? And what is it that you're praying for them? Why are you praying what you're praying? Do you really want them to increase in the Lord? Or do you want to fit them into your nice, tidy? All the while, making ourselves crazy, coming out of our restful place with God. Why won't they do this? Why won't he do that? Why can't he be more like so-and-so? Why can't he? That's not who God created him or her to be. He will show them. But know this, if we'll give God our time, each individual one of us, if we'll give him our time, the other thing will work out. We'll become more patient. We'll become more righteous. We'll become more like God. We'll begin to ask for the right things. Increase him in you, Lord. I'm not even asking for what to do. You know what he needs. You know what needs changed in him. And you know what needs to stay because of the call you've got on his life. Amen? We don't. And we're trying to pray away things out of people's lives that God has put in their life because he intends to use them. But we all have to subject ourselves to him and be willing to change individually. Every one of us. And I know tonight, because you guys are here, this interests you. You're interested in becoming Christ-like. Not, I need to be this way because, well, my husband grouched about it all day, so I guess I'll try to change it. No, because God wants in there and he wants to change you. You're hungry and thirsty for him, and that's who you need to be hungry and thirsty for. We all have a responsibility to give him some of our time. Our rest in life depends on it. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter. No, wrong, sorry. Matthew 22. See, I probably just threw my husband for a loop right there. He's probably going, where is she going? All right, check this out. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Hang with me. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, comparisons, stories used to illustrate and explain, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a kingdom who gave a wedding banquet. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son and sent his servants to summon those who had been invited to the wedding banquet. But you know what? They refused. What? They refused to come. 4. And he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My bullocks and my fat calves are killed and everything's prepared. Come to the wedding feast. 5. But they were not concerned and paid no attention. A lot of empty seats in the house tonight. Not concerned, paid no attention. They ignored and made light of the summons. Treating it with contempt. Oh, I ain't going over there. That's just a bother. Church tonight, what a bother. It's raining. I'm staying home. And they went away, one to his farm and another to his business. Too busy. I got to go over here and look at my cows. I got to go over here and take care of my plastics. I don't know, whatever people do. No time for God. Too busy. While others seized his servants and treated them shamefully and put them to death. Hearing this, the king was infuriated and he sent his soldiers and put those murderers to death and burned their city. 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is prepared, but those invited were not worthy. Why? Because they didn't care. They didn't give it no attention. They ignored it. All their other doings was more important. Too busy for God we are today. Too busy. I'm too busy to get any word in. Read something. Listen to me. Read something every day. I don't care if it's one scripture. How do we breathe without Him? How do we even think for 1 second we get through our day without Him? Always last on the list. Got business to take care of. 9. So go to the thoroughfares where they leave the city, where the main roads and those from the country end, and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. 10. And those servants went out on the crossroads and got together as many as they found, both bad and good. So the room in which the wedding feast was held was filled with guests. 11. But when the king came to view the guests, he looked intently at a man there who had on no wedding garment. So now it's over with for the ones that weren't even concerned, didn't even care. Whatever, got other things to do, too busy for God. It's over for them. Now we've got a new batch here, but we've got a guy who didn't take time to clean up, who didn't take time to prepare himself, who didn't spend time with God preparing his heart to meet the Maker. Do you know this is for real and we're going to meet Him? We sit here casually week after week and this is for real, guys. We can be naked before Him or we can be clothed in white, hiding all our shame and crud. Amen. And all it takes is spending time with the most important person, thing, whatever you want to call it, on this earth. And that is God. He comes first. Don't be found unprepared. Not ready. Not caring. Too busy. 12. And he said, "Friend, how did you come in here without putting on the appropriate wedding garment?" And he was speechless, muzzled, gagged. Then the king said to the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him into the darkness outside, and there's going to be weeping and grinding of teeth. For many are called, invited, and summoned, but few are chosen." Many are called to this preparation of God and invited, but few do the preparation. Don't have time. Too busy with the cares of the world. Too busy with this life. Too busy with stuff and things that don't mount a hill of beans and ain't gonna matter when we're standing before Him. I want to look at it in Luke chapter 14. A little different aspect of it. Luke 14, verses 16 through 24. "But Jesus said to him, 'A man was once giving a great supper and invited many. At the hour for the supper, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for all is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses and to beg off. The first said to him, "I've bought a piece of land and I have to go out and see it. I beg of you, let me be excused." And another said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to examine them and put my approval on them. I beg you, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and because of this, I am unable to come." So the servant came and reported these answers to his master. Then the master of the house said in wrath to his servant, "Go quickly into the great streets and the small streets of the city, and bring in here the poor and the disabled and the blind and the lame." And the servant returning said, "Sir, what you have commanded me to do has been done, and yet there's still room." Do you see how much room he made? There's room for everyone who wants in. More than enough room. 23, "Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and urge and constrain them to yield and come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of those who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Back up in verse 18. "This I see everywhere today. Excuses and begging off. Oh no, I can't go. Oh, you, oh, I can't go over there and help. I can't help today. I hurt my back. I can't help. I can't help with that. I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse me. Oh, I'm so busy. My life is this and that. And I got to go over here and do this. And I got that going on. And I got this going on. You'll have to excuse me from that. Sorry. Don't have time, such a busy life and all. This one makes me sick. And I'm guilty myself. I'm preaching this to myself. Excuses why we can't do what God wants us to do. And have told them so long. The excuse is so long, we wouldn't know if God asked us to do something for Him or not. Because we're just ready with that excuse why we can't. Haven't spent no time with Him. haven't been in His Word, haven't been getting refreshed, haven't been getting renewed, haven't been getting healed, haven't been getting whole, so that when He does say go, we can go do what it is He told us to do. No, ain't got time. Look, if we don't have time for people, we don't have time for God. And if we don't have time for God and people, we ain't got time for heaven. We're going to have to renew our minds. Cut the excuses. Quit giving an excuse every time something hard comes along to do, and jump in and do it. For once in your life, jump in and do something. Because it's not just the hearers of the word that are made righteous and just, but it's the doers. So, yeah, rest. But what kind of rest are we talking about? We're talking about His kind of rest, where when we do what He says to do, we'll have the rest. The peace will be there. We'll go through it. It'll be fine. Maybe we'll grumble a little bit because we're not used to it at first because, well, we've been used to giving all the excuses why we can't. But it's fine. It'll be fine. But if we never try and keep giving excuses why we can't, we're not going to taste of the supper. Why I can't go to church. Why I can't help out my pastors. I can't do nothing down at that church. I done worked all day and dealt with the kids and done this and that and the other thing. We make room for and we invest in what we love and what's important to us. Don't we, Trish? Time, money, and effort is what we invest. Time, money, and effort. Think about it. What we love, we invest in. I'm asking you tonight to search your hearts about what you love. Get your priorities in order. Do away with anything that's just sucking you dry and rest in the Lord. Keep your priorities. Keep your priority list. And they should look like God, family. And God can have an equal sign behind it with church, ministry, da-da-da-ba-ba-ba-da-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Family can have behind it everybody in your family. And if those two things in that order aren't important to you, not worth your time. A lot of people aren't going to go to the supper. And a lot of it is because of the church keeps making excuses why they can't. I can't tell them about the Lord. Are you kidding me? I can't. Spend more time with God than you do with yourself. Spend more time at church getting full of His Word. And in certain realms and hours when you're not even aware, you're going to be talking the Word of God to someone and wonder where that came from. It came from doing what's right and keeping the priorities right and resting in God effortlessly. That's how it works with God. It's effortless. His yoke is easy and light. We don't have to worry about, do I look and smell and talk and walk like Joanne? It's easy and it's light. You worry about you. You worry about what God's doing in your heart and mind. And you let Him do it. Spend the time with Him. I know right away when a church is not spending time with God, because the faces all look the same. Here we come to church to be spoon-fed our weekly meal. And I'll try to run on it for 2 days till Wednesday comes, but I don't know if I can make it. Clue, you can't. How do you breathe without Him every day? And I don't care if it's one word from the Scripture. I don't care if it's one prayer. I don't care if it's good morning, Lord, how are you? I gotta go. Get Him up in your deal first. Individually. I'm really not preaching couples. I'm preaching individually. Rest in Him. Easy and light. If it's not, it's not Him. Need to figure out where it is, where it's coming from. Figure out if it needs cut out altogether. Cut off all unfruitful activity. Stop making excuses why you can't be here or help there or spend time with God or whatever. We got to stop with the excuse making. You know, we're all, and Joyce Meyer puts it this way, we're all given 24 hours in a day. Every one of us have 24 hours in a day. What do you do with yours? Why is it everybody seems so strong in the Lord and I'm always crumbling? What are you doing with your day? They got 24, you got 24. And if they're walking strong, I can tell you what they're doing. And if you're not, I can tell you what you're not doing. Your rest, your sanity, your life, your husband's sanity, your wife's sanity, your kid's sanity depends on it. How can you come out your bedroom in the morning? How can you roll over with your bad breath and look at your husband in the morning without him? How can you deal with your children without him? How can you walk down the street without him? How can you go into the devil's den, the workplace, without him? How can you go into the world where there's wolves without him? I hope it's given you guys something to think about tonight. I praise God y'all are here tonight, and I'll tell you what, I know this message was for you guys. I know it was. Look, this group right here of people, we're not returning to the weak and beggarly elements. We're going to continue on with Christ. We are going to let Him change us. We're going to allow Him entrance. We're going to give Him time. And the rest will work itself out. He's going to show us what's important and not so important. Keep your commitments. If you committed to do something for 6 months, do it. Here's a little help for you. I typically don't sign on for nothing for more than 6 months. And I do that purposely, except for here. I'm talking, you know, except for here. Here I'm in. But if it's something exterior, outside the church, I don't sign on for more than 6 months because I don't know when God's going to say, do that in the church. Do that in the church. Do that in the church. So I keep my time. Listen, we got to think about this a little bit. Think about your time. If in that 24-hour span, you didn't allow yourself a half hour for you, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, shame on you. I don't know. We all have the same amount of time. Rest. Keep what's important important. If it's not that important, cut it out so that you have room for the important thing when God shows it to you. Or when pastor said, can you be down there to do this, this, and this? Yes, I can. Don't always have your schedule so packed, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Oh. Start cutting away. Start cutting it away. Cut it back. What needs to go? Some things are not worth that kind of time in this life. Some things aren't worth that kind of time. They really are not. Protect your time with God. Protect your breathing room. And I'm talking about 10, 15 minutes a day for you will do you wonders. Honey, going in the bedroom, see you in a half hour. Bye-bye, world. I don't care, go in there, comb your hair, do your makeup, shave, whatever it is you do. Read a book, relax, talk to the Lord. Give the Lord that kind of time. And watch what happens in your life. Rest in Him. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses in the church no more. Rest in Him and listen. Give Him the time and do what He tells you to do. We all have areas still in us that we do not let Him touch. We still need healing. We still need His right. We individually have to let Him in there so He can change us. My husband can't change me, only God. And the only way God can is if I invite Him in every day and allow Him to. Lord, show me what stinks. Now listen to me. He will. Okay? He'll show you what stinks. And you'll go, oh. Then work on it with Him. Don't give up on it because you keep falling back into that trait, falling back into that trait, falling back. Don't give up on that. Let Him work it, work it, work it, work it. And we got to get good at this because this is what we're going to do until the day we see Him. It's called preparing our garment. When you got that one mastered, now what? What's the next thing, Lord? I don't suppose I'll be right till I see Him. Therefore, I intend to give Him time to work on me. And when I got one problem under control, I'm going to give Him control of the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And I don't care how many times I fall back into it, how many times I stub my toe on it, how many times I fall down on it, I'm going to keep submitting it to Him until it's done. Let's give Him time, guys. We're the backbone here. And if we start looking around and acting like some of the others we see, I said, we're the backbone. Because we can. Because He's gave that to us. He's given us that anointing. It's our job from Him to keep everyone else lifted up. And in particular. So we got to stay full. If you don't have anything inside, you can't give anything out. And really, I shouldn't even say it that way. Whatever's inside you will come out. And then something funky happens. But if you're full of Him, He'll come out. Let's give Him time. Amen. That's all I got tonight. Just wanted to spur us on in the Lord and say, run this thing. Run this race. And don't ever stop giving Him your time, your money, your talent, your efforts, your mind, your heart, all that you are. It's proof that you love Him. Honestly, it's proof you love Him. Amen. Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for this word. And Lord, just let it birth a new fire in us all. Let us make time for You in our busy lives and schedules. Let us put You first priority. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, rain down Your Spirit. Let it burn inside of us like never before. Stir us. Let us remember our first love. Let us remember the first works. And let us never make an excuse why we can't spend time with You and be with You. Never let us make an excuse why we won't allow You to change our hearts and who we are to look like You. Thank You for Your words, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.